The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 415. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. You might have noticed a change in the way in which I am naming my episodes, especially if you're a long-time listener. You may be wondering why I have decided to do that. I'm trying something new because listenership over the last couple of months for this podcast has been on the decline. Partly because Apple has decided to mess with their algorithm, which has caused, in some cases, a 30% drop in listens. That comes straight from my distributor, Libsyn. And of course, Apple's going to target the independent guys. I'm sure that Joe Rogan and Conrad Thompson aren't seeing a 30% decrease in their listenership, but I digress. I mean, I could sit here and complain and whatnot about what Apple's doing. I'm trying this out. Hopefully these new creative titles will drive some more traffic. And so with that out of the way, it's time for me to talk about my guest, an independent comic book creator from Michigan named Dave Brown Jr. Now, Dave has his own imprint, and he has a bunch of titles underneath that imprint. His comics such as 313 and the Brown Family and I Wish, just a few of those that we are going to talk about. We're also going to talk about his intro into art, about his love of Bruce Lee, his pop culture heroes, all kinds of topics, so it's going to be a fun episode. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Dave Brown Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I am sitting down with the man behind Through the Storms comics. I'm talking about, of course, Dave Brown Jr. Dave, how you doing this evening?
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm doing really good.
Well, I'm doing well, Dave. Thank you for asking. Before we get into Through the Storm comics and all of the projects you have going on, I'd like to go back a little bit, back in time to when you were a kid.
Okay.
Were you a creative kid? Were you always drawing and writing and coming up with different tales? Were you that student in school or that kid in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I was totally that kid. I was definitely the kid that was always drawing, definitely. Story-wise, I was always, because I was never really a story creator. I was just so much of an artist, really. I just like to draw. I just love to draw. And my first story I started doing in school was The Return of the Pillsbury Doughboy. And it was a good version and it was a bad version. It was like a big long thing, and my classmates, they all loved it and everything. So that was my first story I ever started doing. And after that, you know, I just always just start drawing, really.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought that I read somewhere, didn't your father have a background in illustration as well?
No. Well, actually, my father is of course an artist, but you know, my dad always did it as pretty much just a hobby, really. You know, my dad was mostly into music, you know. So I pretty much got everything pretty much really from him, to be honest. You know, my dad draws really old school, like, you know, like all your Jack Kirby's, all that kind of stuff. Like, he drew in that Pacific style right there. So,
okay.
You know, me and him, you know, growing up, you know, he taught me pretty much, you know, how, you know, from anatomy and all that kind of stuff. And then we had our competitions and stuff like that. We still have competitions to this day, to be honest. I do a portfolio of work, and then he'll do a portfolio at home and stuff, and we'll go back at each other, who did what, this. It's still, you know, it's fun between us.
That's good. It's good that you still have a little bit of that rivalry with him.
We definitely do, man.
It makes Thanksgiving dinner somewhat fun, I would think.
Yeah, pretty much. You're right.
Well, how did you get started in the comic book biz?
I got started, actually, I had did the old original, you know, the old take your portfolio down to a convention and go see what people pretty much say about your stuff. And this was back in 2012, 13, something like that. And I showed somebody my portfolio, and then they was like, hey, I got a project going on, really. You know, you want to work on it? And I was like, yeah. And that's how pretty much I got started, really doing, you know, working on comics, really. And even though I didn't really plan on working on comics, to be honest. It's just something I just kind of fell into. I just really love to draw. If anything, I would love to just do covers. But I start working on that, working in comics. And after that, pretty much working in with different local artists and working on different books, I branched out and started doing my own thing.
Of which you have Through the Storm Comics, which is basically 8 different properties under your imprint. So before you tell us a little bit about those books and about the company itself, is there a story behind the name?
Yeah, actually, it was just, you know, Through the Storms was pretty much just about, it was just a personal thing, pretty much, you know, going through, you know, so much, you know, like coming up with age, you know, with, you know, trying to find my place pretty much in the artist world, really. You know, it's like, you know, me being with my wife and kids and stuff, going through the storms pretty much of figuring out, you know, from the depths of, you know, life itself. And, you know, husband, you know, father, and then, you know, trying to still build this, still figuring out what this art world, what can I still bring or what can it give, you know, to be in this art world still. So Through the Storms Comics.
Cool. So let's talk about a couple of the books that are under that umbrella. Let's start off with probably, I think, when we spoke in September at Monroe Comic Con, I think that this was kind of a newer book, and it is, of course, 1313. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about that project?
313 is pretty much really about a corrupt mayor that has taken over Detroit, and he's making a lot of he's like turned Detroit into like almost like a Pleasantville kind of like city. And you think like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And it's a bad thing because he's making a lot of the civilians disappear. And now our heroes all come together pretty much to figure out what's going on. So that kind of make it's like more like a Streets First meet Detroit if you play video games, really.
Okay. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about some of the characters in 313?
Yes. My main character, Christopher King, is like, he's just returned home to Detroit where, you know, where has he been all these years? We don't know that just yet. He comes back to where his, you know, his friends and his family has been this whole time, and you know, there's rivals, and you know, it's love interest pretty much trying to figure out, like, you know, like, well, you disappeared, and you know, people trying to figure out, you know, like this is what's going on. He thinks home looks like, well, it looks better than when I left it, and his, you know, his friends are trying to tell him like, this isn't home, things is happening here. And then he also has a brother, Marcus, who's an incredible famous boxer, social media kind of guy, who's has a rival between them. You know, like, you know, you went out here doing this, you know, you still think you that guy, you know, I'm that guy now. And, you know, it's a brother, you know, big brother, little brother, kind of like rivalry thing going on.
Obviously, you're a Michigan guy, and that plays into probably why you decided to do this book. But how has it been received by folks who have picked it up?
Mad support, to be honest. Like,
you okay, know, good.
I'm so happy that it's gotten so much love, pretty much from everybody. Especially with people that's been like, "Yo, I need issue 2." It's like, I'm working on it. And they got issue 2. And everybody said, "Yo, where's issue 3 hitting?" I said, "All right, give me a minute because I got other stories I'm working on." You know? So I'm kicking. Issue 3 actually drops next month. January, February, March. It actually drops in March, actually, issue 3. So I want to, you know, try and get a pretty much, you know, put a few issues together first before I start putting them all together. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really happy how everybody's really has taken it in and, you know, a big support team from it too.
That's great. That's awesome news to hear because, as you know, everybody that's listened to this podcast in the past and know when I talk with creators that, you know, the support of your fan base is incredibly important. Like, you cannot overstate how important that is.
Yes, that's I think that's why it's like, you know, it gives you that good push, pretty much, you know, especially, you know, that's why I love doing cons so much, because I'm really not a really good social media person, really. I feel like I'm bothering people when I always post. So I think everybody say, "No, you gotta post. And it's like, but I love doing cons because, you know, I get to interact with, you know, a lot of people. I get to interact in person. You know, we get to talk. I get to talk to you. You see how my energy and my passion is, pretty much, you know, from what it is, you know, being in person really with them too. So, you know, it's a big thing really for me.
Well, I totally agree with you that I feel like my explanation for social media is it's the double-edged sword. Like, I for an example, I don't mind being on X or Twitter, whatever they're calling it. I don't mind being on Facebook. I hate Instagram. Like, I don't like it. I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I find it to be bothersome. And so, like, I can understand. I still have one, but I hate it. It's that love-hate relationship where you know you got to have it because that's what everybody does. But yeah,
I totally agree. Yeah,
I could totally see where it can be cumbersome and aggravating and infuriating and whatnot.
I think that's where I'd be. That's how I felt about with like Twitter and stuff like that. They were like, "Oh man, you on Twitter?" I was like, "No." I said, "I am," but it's like, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, mm-hmm. How do you build people? I don't get it. I said, like, and that's what I always tell people. It's kind of like, you know, hey man, like, you know, I have already my family and stuff. I got a whole bunch of things to get, and then that alone is already a whole nother life right there.
Yes.
I'm just going to build what I can already from where I'm at. People know where I am and stuff like that. So I'm building my progress slowly, but definitely steady.
You know, you just mentioned your family, and you have a comic based on your family called The Brown Family. Why did you decide to produce this comic?
That I actually did an original one before I actually revamped them all over again, because when I first started doing comics, I was working on a lot of other local comic artists and stuff, and I was doing a lot of sci-fi, a lot of horror, and, like, you know, it was like pretty much really back and forth like that. And then I was like, I want to do my own thing, but I said, I don't know what I want to do. And it's like, I said, I don't really want to do nothing superhero right now. And I said, like, I'm so done with science fiction. It's like, so I just stuck to something I knew. So I just wanted to get something out there, really. And what, nothing better than my family, really. So I immediately start, you know, during, you know, at that time it was just me, my wife, and my three boys. But now I have my daughters and, you know, our dog and, you know, a whole bunch of things. So I start working on that. And then I revamped them again into the Browns family. And this, the story is supposed to take place pretty much even more, pretty much really, really in depth in our life. Still, you know, it's like real, but yet door more a little fictitious, pretty much, if you want to explain that. I don't know how you really explain that, but though it dives more into pretty much my life more, you know, my three boys, you know, my wife being a nurse, me being, you know, from a teacher here to from a nurse here to a comic book artist here, you know, I'm all over the place, really. So yeah, it's a lot.
Has it ever caused you like a strife or conflict at home? Like one of the kids, like, don't write about me, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, doing like, this, doing know, that, or.
Yeah, probably sometimes, you know, it's like, it's anyway, I don't even think it's most of that. It's mostly really more like, oh, you know, make me like this. And it's like, all right, but you're not like that. So. So I can't make you super, super cool guy, but that's not really what you are, you know. It's like, you know, because they like to take my work to school and stuff like that and show stuff. And I, you know, I do a lot of, you know, I do a lot of stuff at their schools, you know, dealing with art. And I feel like, you know, the last thing you want somebody, one of your classmates to read your book and they say, like, you say you like this and they be like, hey, you ain't like this at all. I don't want nobody calling you out, man.
So, you know what? I think that it is something that many creators have mentioned on this show, is that having a variety of things. So, you know, you have something that's maybe more of a crime comic, I guess you would say, is 3-1-3-1-3. And then you got the Brown family. You have other things. I think it's super important to have that variety, because the general public, you never know what they want. And so do you agree, Dave, that was also a way to kind of make sure that you had a little bit of something for everybody?
Yeah, it's because you're totally right. It's like, you know, it's kind of like how, you know, you go to cons and it's like I have prints also, right? You know, fan art stuff, you know, it's pretty much what AKA eye candy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And because you're going to have that, because, you know, it's not going to be people that like comics, really, you know, and then you people that just that don't want no prints but want comics because they want to support indie creators. But I also want to have, like, a different variety of comics, you know, like from 313 being a pretty much an action comic, and Brown's Family being like a wholesome family cartoon comic, and then you got I Wish, that is more of a drama. It's sad, but still cartoonish kind of drama. And then you got Urban Tales, that's a horror kind of like thing. And then you got Cold Supreme, that's also a superhero fantasy kind of like world. So you kind of like got a different variety of things that if you're interested, here it is. I'm a big movie buff too, so it's like I'm all over the place with movies, so I like to know to have a variety of things.
Do you find that challenging to switch your skill base from, say, you're working on Code Supreme and then you're going to go work on Urban Tales or whatever the project might be? Do you find that to be a challenge, or do you feel like you've got enough tools in the toolbox, so to speak, that it's a much smoother transition than maybe some other creators feel?
I think it's probably smoother for me because it's my style. Okay. You know, it's me. You know, like a lot of people would look at my books and be like, well, who's the artist? And I'm like, well, I'm the artist. He's like, oh, well, you got different, everything got like a different style, so it's something different. I was like, yeah, that's how I wanted it, because I didn't want to all look the same. I wanted to seem like everything was different from a different world. And, you know, for me going from 313 to, like, you know, guys with physiques and straight up and down, you know, like kind of like an anime kind of thing, to going to Cold Supreme, to where he got like a little short, pudgy, like little guy, like Mario or something, exotic kind of like world, pretty much where there are big monsters and stuff like that. I could switch around. And then, you know, I Wish is kind of like more like a Disney kind of like, you know, I could really play around with it in my own style. So, you know, I could move around so I won't feel like I'm stuck in one specific kind of like realm of how things is drawn.
Okay. You know, you mentioned that you like movies and that, and I noticed that when I visited your table at Monroe, and you have these giant displays. I don't know if giant's the right word, but they're very large displays of these unique collages that have, whether it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think you had one there. Yeah. So my two part question on that. How do you go about creating them, first off? Like, when you sit down, you pick a theme, obviously, and then how do you start arranging the art or placing it, I guess you could say, so it makes the most impact?
With my big collages, I work pretty much like I work from bottom to top, really, because
Okay.
the bottom is what's important to me. You know, everything I've drawn pretty much is always based on what I love, and you know, 'cause I can never draw anything that I've never watched, or 'cause I hate to draw something and somebody comes to my table and be like, oh, this character, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but here it is. You know, it's like I like having conversations about them. So, like you just bring up turtles, it's like, you know, like the first bottom turtles is the black and white, and that's how I got introduced into them from the comics. You know, so and then next up is gonna be the movies because I love the movie. The movie was like my golden childhood. And then you got the cartoons and stuff like that and everything that builds all the way up pretty much to present where we at now. So, I mean, that's how all my collages work really, you know, from their own. Like the bottom is real, like same thing with my Power Rangers. My Power Rangers is it's the first Power Rangers. They're the first. They're the golden nuggets pretty much of my childhood. And then it's worked all the way. Then it's everybody else.
So, just where did you come up with this idea for doing the collages?
Oh, the collages came. It was just a challenging thing, pretty much. I wanted to see if I could do it. The first one I did was the cartoons. Was my 90s, 80s cartoon, and my wife told me, she said, "Oh, you should do a Pokemon." I was like, "Man, I ain't got time to be doing no Pokemon. I don't know all the Pokemons. I have to look up everybody." And I said, "I'll do it another time." So I said, like, well, I do cartoons. I said, like, we grew up, you know, with all of it. Same thing with my cartoons. The first people that's on there is Recess, and I love Recess as a kid, you know. So, they the first ones I just built all the way up to, you know, everything that me and my wife sat down talking about cartoons that we watch, you know. And so I put them in there. I know it's cartoons I didn't even put in there that I forgot to put in there, to be honest. And it's like, but I love the conversation people have when they look at it. It's like it's not really about them buying it. It's even though it is, but I love people that stop and just be like and try and name stuff. They be like, oh, that's my child. Like, oh, I forgot this person. It's like, oh, this. And it's like it's so fun to watch. Or then, you know, engage with people with conversation about it and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just something I just want to really do.
I was guilty of that. As I went past your table, I stopped for a while and was trying to pick out people from those collages. And some of them were I could easily do, and some of them I was like, man, I don't know. That must have been a cartoon or a movie or a show that I've not watched because I don't know who it is, or I vaguely know who it is. One of the two.
Yeah, right. And that was the fun part. It's kind of like, well, who do you know? It's like, you know, who you don't know. It's like, or heck, I forgot all about this cartoon here. I had somebody went to my table and say, I forgot the Tin Can of cartoon and stuff like that. It was like, I said, yeah, man. So like, it's those kind of like, you know, kind of like a trip down memory lane for a second, you know. Same thing with my anime wall, pretty much. You know, a lot of people say, oh man, you forgot this person. I was like, I didn't forget him. I just didn't draw it because I didn't watch it. So I feel like, it's not really my thing if I enjoy it. Because not only are you getting my work, that work also stays with me. It sits on my wall. So I hate somebody, a picture on my wall sitting there that I have no idea who this character really is. No emotions whatsoever towards it. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really a great philosophy to have, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a reflection of what you want and what you, in terms of what I mean by is in terms of your philosophy of that, you know, if it's something that I would want, then it's something that you would want. I think that works. That works. That's something that I think more creators should take note on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I always went by things. I mean, after working with so many other artists and, you know, people, you know, local artists, seeing how people move and how people operate, it's kind of like, it kind of, you know, make you see life in, you know, see the, you know, the comic world or the convention world in a different kind of light. Like, you know, like, okay, just because your whole thing is based off this, you expect everybody to just like this, but people like a whole lot of variety of things. I mean, I understand some people may say I have so many prints that it may overwhelm somebody. And I get it. I totally understand that. But also, I just hate to leave that certain person out that feel like, you know, oh man, this person only has Pokemon, Demon Slayer, Dragon Ball, and My Hero or something like that. When actually they try and look for probably some old school stuff, really, you know? So, and if I watch it, I'm going to have it, you know, because that's what I love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I hate to leave anybody out. That's why I draw almost everything. It's only because I know I watched everything. Like, you know, not everything, but almost, you know, a lot of stuff, though. I guess, you know, I'm just an all-around guy pretty much when it comes to, you know, cartoons and movies and stuff like that.
You know what? You talked about being at a lot of comic cons, and it seemed like you had been in quite a few from what I've researched throughout this past year. In your opinion, what makes for a good comic con?
Well, the promoters, the venue, location, the attendees, and yeah, that's pretty much really it for me. That's what makes a con. I mean, other than like pretty much the attendees alone, you can have from shoot 12,000 to 30,000. Say, like, you know, I've done little shows and I've done huge shows, so it's like, you know, they all so different.
Okay.
You know, gotcha. you can have a good show and you can have a bad show. I mean, I have 1 day shows that were great compared to actually a 3 day show. And then I had 3 day shows that was fantastic compared to a 1 day show. So, you know, you never know what you get from a con, really, you know?
Yeah, but the basic gist is, number one, you gotta have the folks there. You gotta have the fans.
You gotta have the attendees there. If you don't have that, then, you know, what's really the point?
Yeah,
and that's why I tell people so much. Like, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of cons and I've been to a lot of same shows, you know, and after a while though, you know, you gotta start moving on to another one. You know, another show, because you've done one show already. If people haven't brought your stuff already and you don't have really nothing new, they already brought your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's either you have something new or you do another show. You know, I mean, that's how I tell people. I mean, like, I have so many people brought up all my books. And I love it. And they come to my table and they be like, oh, you got anything new? And I say, no, you brought my book like just last year or probably a month or two ago. I don't have nothing, no new books, but I have prints. But if they don't buy prints, then that's pretty much really it. Now, it's people that brought Prince, it's like people that I do a lot of Simpsons because I'm a big Simpsons fan. Somebody buy all my Simpsons, but if I don't have nothing new, then they're not really buying nothing else, really. So they're here for this. You know, so that's why, that's another reason why I like to have a variety of things, because people buy out this one section here, and that's pretty much really it. They done with, and then they pretty much move it on. Pretty much, you got this fan base that's built up off based off what you have, really. So, if you don't have nothing here, move on to another show. Then get your face somewhere new, a new variety of people and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, that's very good advice. I think that that's something that, again, more people that are making and creating comics should definitely keep that in mind as well. All right, let's talk about some other, I guess we could say these are more personal questions, if you will. I see that you're a fan of Bruce Lee, and I'd like to know, how did that fandom grow?
Bruce Lee? My father, obviously I said earlier that we're big movie buffs, but our big movies, we was big kung fu, you know, buffs. So we watch all kinds of kung fu movies from all over, you know. So obviously Bruce is like first on the list, really. But you know, it's not just Bruce, really. It's everybody, really. You know, I feel like Bruce Lee represented everybody in the martial arts world for me. And, you know, he was just that, you know, he was just that guy.
Okay, gotcha.
Just that guy. That's about it.
Okay.
That's about it.
Well, you and I actually share something in common. You met Kevin Smith. I have met Kevin Smith most recently as well. So how was your interaction with Kevin Smith?
Oh, man, it was so funny because I was supposed to have met him at GalaxyCon, actually, and I didn't get a chance to because it was some big old thing that was all mixed up with people. But I got to meet the clerks, whole crew, and anybody that knows me knows that was I love the Clerks movies. And, you know, especially the first one, pretty much. You know, I literally watched that movie when I was young, and I shouldn't have watched it, but I did. and I just fell in love with that whole thing. And so I always followed Kevin Smith, and I always wanted to meet him. And I wasn't able to meet him, and I got to go out with the Clerks crew later at night, and hung out and talk and stuff, but I wasn't able to meet Kevin Smith. But until AstroCar, and then I wasn't able to still meet him there. Until I still wasn't able to meet him. And I was so irritated because this is how bad it was. My table, my booth was right across from his photo shoot booth. And I was like, yo, this is killing me. A friend of mine's already who he's one of he's Jay's. He's, you know, he works with Jay pretty much, and pretty much I met Jay a whole bunch of times, really. I said it's hard as hell to get to Kevin though. And so enough, a friend of mine, Snook, who bless his heart, who got me a ticket as a gift, and was like, you know, hey, I got you, you know, this. Go meet Kevin, man. I was like, oh man, I almost broke down in tears. And yeah, so I finally met him, and he said, oh, so you the one that drew I showed him my clerk pictures, and he was like, you the one that drew? And I was like, yeah, you know, stuff like that. So he said he's looking for these artists, and we exchanged information. And you talking about when people, this is the part I be telling people, audience. This is what I've been talking about. When people say, I don't do the card, you know, business cards anymore because it's a waste of money. You know, it's this, that, and the third. I do like cue cards and stuff like that. These are the reasons why I say always have a business card just in case. This man, clearly, you know how people say you got to sell yourself within 5-10 seconds pretty much. This was it right here. I had to sell myself really fast, pretty much. And on top, he said, "You got a business card?" I said, "Yes, I do." I gave him two. And you know, we just exchanged like that, and there, and moved on. Really, man, I got my picture and everything, and I was super happy. I was already happy with that. I didn't even be for all that to happen, but he asked, I told, and I ain't spared nothing at all. So, and I was trying to talk as fast as possible, but it was a fantastic experience. That's all I can say. It's like, it was fantastic, really.
Yeah, that he's a cool dude. I don't know if I want to bore the listeners with my story about how I met him, but I mean, what the hell? We'll do it. Why not? You probably want to know how I met him, right, Dave?
Yeah.
All right, now, back in 2021, Ernie O'Donnell, who's part of that Clerks Cruise, was on a podcast that my buddy ran, and so I sat in as like the co-host. And Ernie was great, man. Great interview. We talked, and off air, we were talking to him because I had made a wrestling joke, and he was a big wrestling fan back in the day. So we were talking, and Ernie said, "Hey, you know, you guys should come out to New Jersey because we're opening the new location for the Secret Stash." You know, and that's what he was promoting. And we're like, "Okay, cool, man." He's like, "You should come on out." We're like, "Okay, cool." You know, and then when we got off the phone with him, or got off the call with him, like, my pal was like, do you want to go to Jersey? I'm like, I kind of want to go to Jersey, you know? so we looked in, we got a hotel room. We left. And so we went, and they had, the opening was kind of, it was on Saturdays and Sundays. So Saturday was like from 8 a.m. till like noon. The store was open, but open only for those people that were doing camera or picture ops, you know, like photo ops. And, but at, from like noon till 2 o'clock, it was open to the general public. And then from 4 to like close again, it was open, but only for people that had tickets and were doing, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Gotcha.
So Dave, I knew what I was going to do to get noticed. I'm like, if Kevin Smith is in that store, I know what I'm doing. I love Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud owner of one of the blazers that Mayor Vaughn has, like the light blue blazer with the white anchors all over them. I found one and bought one. Wow. So I was dressed in a blazer, dress slacks, dress shoes. I was, not only was it a Jaws themed jacket, but I'm dressed better than anybody in that store. I'm just going to give myself props on that, because no one's going to a comic book store in a suit, right? No one's doing that, you know? So we strolled in, and he came out from the back, and I remember he said to me, he goes, "I think I should vote for you or something, man. You're here to fight a shark, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yes, there I am." I said, "I'm a very big fan." He goes, "That suit coat is awesome." I'm like, "Thanks, man." I was like, "Can I get a picture?" He goes, "Yes, you can." And so took a picture, and again, he complimented me on the suit jacket, and then went on about his business. But man, that made my day. I mean, I could not, So I dressed like Mayor Vaughn. He took notice, you know.
That was a good one. Like, wow.
And I took my gamble. I was like, I'm going to gamble that he's going to be there, and this is going to work, you know. But it did. And, you know, I also will say this. I give props to that town, Red Bank. That's a cool little town. So,
really? Okay.
Yeah, we had a good time out there. You know, a long drive from Columbus, Ohio, but it was fun. We definitely had
some fun. I always wanted to go out there. I've been invited out there like twice, man. It was years ago, and I was like, at that time, I was like, I couldn't, man. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm trying to get out there. And that's what they were saying. I got to meet my friend Matt, actually, because he's the one who works with Jay a lot, is that he, because they were seeing my print I had there of the Clerks. And he was like, oh, man, we look for some work to put up in the Stash. And I was like, man, you ain't said nothing but a word. like what you need, like, you know. So that's how that whole thing went. I felt like, I said, man, I gotta get out there. I really do. I really want to go out there. And then I heard that when they was doing a new location, I was upset. So I was like, oh man, I ain't even been at the old one. I gotta get out there to the new one though. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and it's surprising how the old place was really small. Like, you watched Comic Book Men? I thought it was medium. Yeah, it was kind of like a big store. No, it was very tiny. The new store is much spacious, much more spacious, and much more inviting as well, because there's a lot of cool, you know, things that they have from the movies, different pieces of, you know, like, I know they have the Tusk animal in the one window, and they have the Buddy Christ statue in the middle of the store. So they have some cool stuff to definitely just see from the show, or from the store itself.
Okay.
All right, well, let's start wrapping up with a couple of other questions here. You know, we've talked about, you know, that you love to draw. So who are some of your favorite creators, and who are some of your favorite superheroes or characters?
Well, artists, it's funny that because my art style is so different. So one of my favorite artists, I'll say, is for one, I was like Norman Rockwell. And I always say, like, you know, like, man, if Norman Rockwell was somebody who actually painted like superheroes, man, how badass that would be, man. And sure enough, as I got older, I've ran across this guy named Alex Ross, who paints superheroes. And his inspiration was, I mean, you know, his mom pretty much, you know, did a lot of commercial art and stuff like that. But I was like, dude, he's like Norman Rockwell, dude. It's like, so I followed him already because I also paint. And it's like, you know, so it's like, wow, man. It's like, but I don't paint on that level, not at all, because I probably don't have the patience pretty much for it. But the detail of him is that's what it is. So it's Norman Rockwell, Alex Ross, pretty much, you know, obviously the old legends and stuff like that, Jack Kirby and all them kind of people, really. But my dad pretty much is like my number one, pretty much, to be honest, really, because he's the only one who I actually watch draw so much. This guy talked about my anatomy for years. So when people always say, like, you know, can you take criticism? Yes. My father talked about my drawings for years on out. So, like, you say nothing means nothing. Like, and you said, what else?
Some favorite superheroes or characters?
Characters and superheroes. I'm a leader at heart, so I'm a big Captain America fan and a Cyclops fan. People do not like Cyclops. People always come at me with that. She's like, man, you're such a jerk. I don't care. I like leadership.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
all right.
So, yes, yeah, it's those people pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, I mean, of course I can't. You know, that was DC pretty much, but I mean that's Marvel, but DC is gonna always be Batman. Batman's okay. Pretty much was my number one pretty much thing, because my dad had me grow up on Adam West.
Okay.
And that was my introduction to Batman.
Oh my.
And I was like, so it was like so funny, because it was like, that was just my jam off rip. Like, I have like the Blu-ray whole collection of, you know, Batman. I watch it really like once a year, pretty much, really, to be honest. Like, a guy have a whole marathon really of it. So I don't know, it kind of does a reset for pretty much, you know. I always like to have things around me that inspire. That's like my whole office pretty much is like a whole thing pretty much about, like, you know, what I'm about, really, you know, from my childhood and to my adulthood pretty much, you know. But it has this balance pretty much, you know, to keep me, you know, this is what I'm doing it for, you know, this is how I feel really right here. So yeah.
I read where you teach art classes to special needs children. If I may ask,
yes.
How did that opportunity come about?
My son is autistic.
Okay.
So I, you know, at that time, you know, was trying to figure out, like, you know, like what am I doing? What mm-hmm. is this? Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand this. So I took a lot of classes and stuff like that to understand my son for one, and did a lot of reading and stuff. And I started, you know, working with him, you know, to get off work and stuff like that. And, you know, he always sat on my lap when I'm drawing. And so he started drawing at the table with me. So he was trying to imitate what I'm doing, though, you know, and stuff like that. So I started, you know, playing with him with it. And I started showing him this, that, and the third. And I just, and when he was at the school, and when we started going to the school for this program for him, and I was telling the teacher this is what I was doing with him, this, that, and the third, and she took an interest on how passionate I sounded about it. She wanted me to, you know, show the kids and stuff like that. And from that point on, really, I started really going around and doing, like, you know, just really, you know, being involved in the school pretty much. And that kind of, like, really evolved into there. And then I started doing recreation centers pretty much, you know, helping kids and stuff like that, you know, not just with special needs, you know, any kid, you know. You know, if you want to learn how to draw, this is what I do. If you know, because I know a lot of parents, I understand, you know. So, you know, I always feel like art helps out in, you know, a lot of different ways. So that's how I started.
That's an awesome thing that you're doing, man, to give back to the community like that. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I have to. I mean, like, you know, it's just. You know, it's just, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I've told so many other people, I have sons, I have a daughter, I have kids not only kids that's already becoming fans, I have parents that have their kids be checking me out. I have my own little tribe here that's watching me as I move, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I got, you know, see, this is how you give back. You know, not just being out here saying, like, you just saying, like, I'm here to collect money and stuff like that. You got to give back. Because I feel like it's kind of fun being selfish. This is our home. So we got to start here. So, you know, that's what it is.
All right. Well, let's talk about website, social media, upcoming projects, any appearances. Because it's within a month or so, I believe, that's when con season is going to get started here. So run it down. Let's start with website and social media first. How about that?
Website, social media. My social media, I'm at Dave Sketches 007 on everything. Even with my website, Dave Sketches 007 at wixosite.com. That's pretty much really Dave Sketches 007. That's from TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My shows that's going to be coming up, actually, I'm going to be at the Pop-Up Art that's in Detroit downtown, actually. That's February 17th. And then my next show is going to also be, Great Lakes. Great Lakes. That's the next weekend after Pop-Up, actually, the February 17th. And then it's the next weekend, it's Great Lakes. Those are the two shows that's going to start me out this year, really.
Got any upcoming projects that you'd like to talk about? Because I don't know if we touched base on that. So anything that folks need to keep their eyes out for?
Keep your eye out for 313 issue 3. that's my newest one. And then I have Code Supreme also issue 3. That's going to be coming up. And then I got I Wish number 3 also coming up.
All right. Well, Dave, any last words you want to tell the listeners?
Hey, I appreciate everyone listening. Please, if you see me at a con, come on up, give me a high five, whatever you want to do. Let's kick it, talk about movies, comics, games. I'm all over the place.
All right, with that, Dave, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Dave Brown Jr. talking about his various comic book projects And I really do appreciate Dave taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And please check out his stuff. Check out his social media. If you see him, as he said, at a con, and as you heard, next weekend is his first convention and of the year. And so definitely stop by and say hello to Dave. He's a fun dude. He's super easy to talk to. And support him if you like what he's doing. All right, and now it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question or a comment about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first, you can find me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. My personal handle there is at PVDMVP. But you can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Let me tell you how you can listen to this podcast just in case you want to tell somebody about it. First and foremost, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best way to get your hands on every single episode. Is it hands or ears? You know what I mean. Anyways, it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet's search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you are listening through one of those apps, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing pushes me up in the algorithm. And, you know, at the beginning of the episode, I told you right now that algorithm is jacked up from Apple. But nevertheless, please rate and review. You don't have to do much. You know, you just give me as many stars as you like, hopefully 5, and you give a quick comment, like the show. It was awesome. Whatever. You don't have to write a book, but it's super important for me, and I would greatly appreciate it. And you know what? While you're rating and reviewing, subscribe so that you never miss an episode. But there's a couple of other ways that you can hear this great podcast. First, every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast through the Facebook feed. And so that's one easy way to hear each single episode. But I'm also happy to say that the PVDcast is available through CROC Radio, Croc Radio, out of British Columbia. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear the PVDcast through Croc Radio. And I'd like to thank everybody at the station for having myself and the PVDcast be part of the Croc Radio family. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank all of you for checking out this episode. And with that, I will chat in each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.